Hello, friend, and welcome to episode 201 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, we're digging into a juicy topic. We are talking about turning in your membership card to the Clean Plate Club. Are you a card-carrying member? How long have you been a card-carrying member? If you're a member of Gen X, that's likely a good long time. I know I was also a member of the Clean Plate Club for most of my life. How has this impacted your life? How has this impacted your ability to meet your goals of losing weight and maintaining your weight? That's what we're going to talk about today, along with how do you turn in your membership card? How do you start doing something different? That's the plan today. Now, I will tell you, before we get to that, I fill you in on what's been happening with my Learn to Love Running journey. I have been on this journey since August now, so we're 6 months in. So if you're like, I don't want to hear about you learning how to like running, jump to about minute 11. I just get really excited talking about running and where I'm at with that and how my goals are going. So I talk all about that for the first 11-ish minutes, and then we dive into the Clean Plate Club. Now, if you're listening to this episode and you're like, yeah, like I need some help with this. I really think this is one of the reasons I'm not able to lose weight. This is something I want to change about myself. This is something I do a lot of coaching around in Fitter After 40. So get on the wait list. The doors are going to be opening in the spring, which is coming way faster than you can even imagine. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You can grab it there, find out all the information. Let's jump into the episode. Hello, friend. We are covering a topic today that I really like to talk about. I've had such great interactions on Instagram with my community there around this subject, in my membership, the Fitter After 40 group, in the Aging Stronger Society membership on this topic. It's just a really important topic, and that is ditching the Clean Plate Club. Why do we do it? How do we do it? How do we feel about the fact that we're card-carrying members of the Clean Plate Club? How is this serving us or not serving us? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, before I dive in, I do want to give you a little update on something that a lot of you were very interested in, and that is my running journey, my journey to become a person who enjoys running. So I started, if you don't remember, it was last August. This is a project that I had considered doing and tried to start multiple times since 2020, and things just kept foiling my planned injuries, my long haul COVID battle. Eventually this year I was like, this is it. I'm going to do it. And the reason I wanted to do this, because so much of my adult life, I have identified as not an athlete. I never thought of myself as an athlete until my mid 40s, and certainly not a runner. I've always thought of myself as not a runner, not built that way, not good at that, bad at running. You know, I just hated it. I hated running. I think I hated it because I was so dang bad at it. And so I set off with this challenge in my mind to be like, can I be somebody who enjoys running? I don't even have to love it. I just want to say, can I not hate it? That was really like the baseline goal. Can I become good at it enough to not hate it? That's the only goal. And ta-da, if you don't remember, I did in very short order. The thing I did differently this time than at any other point in my life when I tried to enjoy running, or I never even tried to enjoy running. I tried to become a runner for various reasons. Often it was something with weight loss. It was almost always, I was like, oh, I'm going to lose weight. I should be a runner, right? In my teens, in my 20s, in my 30s, many, many times trying this. And so I'd go outside and go running, and I hated the way I would feel. And I mean, you know, my lungs are burning and my legs are burning, and I was bad at it. Well, I never started slow enough. And so this time, when I say slow, I started super duper slow. 1 minute of running, 1.5 minutes of walking. 1 minute of running, 1.5 minutes walking. I followed a program that was put into my new treadmill. So I bought this treadmill last summer. There's a 5K program inside the treadmill. It's a beginning program. I'm like, that's what I'm going to follow. And so it really was the first couple of weeks, I didn't run more than 5 minutes at a time. I want to say it was week four before I even ran 5 minutes. So we're literally talking 1 minute stretches, 1.5 minute stretches, 2 minute runs, 3 minute runs. And so it would be like run, walk, run, walk, run, walk, until 5 weeks in, I was not running 5 minutes. And then eventually it became 8 minutes. And then the big one for me, and I want to say, so it was 9 week, 8 weeks, it was week six. And I went from running 8 minutes and walking to running 10 minutes, two 10-minute runs. And I remember feeling like, oh, this is a big leap, because it wasn't like 8 minutes and then walk and then 2 minutes, which is kind of what it before I most I'd ever run. It was 8 minutes and then, you know, way back to like 3 or 5. But this one had me running 10 minutes and then a little walk and then another 10 minutes. I was nervous, but it went so well. It went so well. And then the next training program, the next training day was running 25 minutes straight. And I was like, dang, that's an even bigger leap. And that went really well. This entire time, remember, now by the time I got to running 25 minutes in a row, I had already been running for 7 weeks. 7 weeks. Typically, every time in the past when I'd set out to run, I would be trying to run for, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time on day one. And I rarely made it past a few days because it was just so painful and so terrible. So here I am 7 weeks in and I'm taking this 25 minute run. Then they moved us up to 30 minutes. I don't know who else is. It was just me. 30 minute runs. So I did 3 30 minute runs over the course of a week. And then I did a 5K that I signed up to do with my entire family down in Philadelphia. We did the Rocky Run. It was a fabulous experience. Just so much energy in that crowd and the Rocky music blasting and running by the art museum steps like in the movie Rocky. It was such a great day. And I finished my 5K. My time was, I want to say it was, okay, now was it 37 or 39, 43. I could look it up real fast while we're talking. It was like 37-ish minutes. It was slow. Like, that is not a fast time. I actually thought it was going to be slower than that, but it was slow. And since then, it was really early on in that process that I discovered I was enjoying this. I had this goal. It was really manageable. There were such small chunks of time when I was running, so I was able to enjoy it. There wasn't this, like, I just had 20 minutes of like sucking air. It wasn't like that at all. So I really quickly felt jazzed about this. Like, I'm doing this. Like, I'm doing this well. I'm not dying. And it's much easier to like something that, you know, you don't feel like a failure at. And so from the very beginning, I was like, I'm actually liking this. And partway through, I was like, I'm really liking this. And then by the time I did that 5K, I was like, I love this. Like, I want to continue doing this. And it had never been my intention to, like, I'm now going to be a runner. Like, this is going to be something that's, you know, an ongoing part of my life, but it has become that. So it's been 6 months now that I have been a runner. I just checked, by the way, my time was 39:23, back the beginning of November. I believe it was November 11th. So I continued running. The beginning of the year, set one of my New Year's resolutions. I did not mean for this to be such a long chat. I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here. We really are getting to ditching the Clean Plate Club. But I know a lot of people out there are like, I'm super interested. Like, I've never been a runner either. And I'm in my 50s or my 40s. Like, maybe I could do this. So I set out at the beginning of this year to get better at doing this small amount of running. Because some people are like, now that you've run a 5K, you're going to try and, like, you know, you're going to run a 10K, you're going to run a half marathon. Like, what are you going to, I was like, no way. I want to just get better, feel, you know, make this easier. Can I run 5K and have it feel easier than it did last time? It was fun, but it was still challenging. And so the goal is the whole first quarter of this year. So from January through March, 3 times a week running. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing a 30 minute run. I've been doing a 30 minute run that within that run has some striders, so where I'm running faster for a minute and then backing off, running faster and backing off, not a full sprint, but much faster than the slow pace I'm going, which, by the way, I ramped my pace down even further because I had, from the very beginning, I had heard from all the coaches that, you know, the running coaches that I had consulted about this, that the key to me liking running was going to be running very, very, very slowly. However slowly you think you want to run, run even slower. And so I did. I ran incredibly slowly. And at the beginning of the year, when I was like, I just want to get better at this, I want to build my running base, just really run more longer distances, during my running practice over time, while I get better at this. And when I say run longer, like I said, I'm not talking about 5K, 10K. I'm talking about, like, can I run more than 30 minutes and get through it, right? And enjoy it. So 30 minute run, one day a week, this other 30-minute run that has some of those striders, and then a longer run on the weekend. And my longer run for me, it started out with 32 minutes because the most I had ever run was 30 minutes outside of that 5K. And then the next week I would bump it up to 35 minutes. And then the next week I'd bump it up to, I was going in very small increments until this last Saturday, I ran for 55 minutes. And ladies, I did not run for 55 minutes huffing and puffing. I was having a great time. I was enjoying it. My husband came down. I run on the treadmill, which, by the way, people are like, why do you run on a treadmill and not outside? Mostly, I will run outside some, very limited. I have 2 feet that really like to get plantar fasciitis. Like, they are just like, ooh, can I have that again? And so I bought a treadmill that has extra cushioning for people who have foot and joint problems. And I'm feeling really good. And so that's why I keep most of my run to the treadmill. So I'm on the treadmill. My husband comes down to talk to me. My son comes down to talk to me. And I'm running and I'm having conversations and not thinking like, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? So 55 minutes is where I'm at right now. This Saturday, I'm running the first of 2 5Ks that I plan on doing in this first quarter of the year. That was another part of my New Year's resolution to have something to be excited about with the running, is to set a goal to run some 5Ks. So my daughter and I, and maybe some of our other family members, are going to be running this Saturday. It's called the Cupid's Chase. The Cupid's Chase, I almost said 4th of July. That is not the holiday. It's like a Valentine's theme race. We're running the Cupid Chase this Saturday. My goal is to, when I get out there, see if running this 5K, if I can do it easier than the last 5K. I'm not necessarily going to beat that time. I kind of think I might. Maybe I'll go faster than 39:23. Maybe I won't. But I do think it's going to feel even easier than it did last fall. And then I'm just going to keep on going on. Next week, my goal is to run 60 minutes instead of 55. And then I'm going to start upping my pace a little bit at a time. I have the treadmill set at 3.5. Now, a lot of people are like, I walk at 3.5, lady. What? Why are you going that slow? And I'm telling you, going this slow has been enabling me to just really enjoy this and to get better at it. So over time, I'm going to, like, you know, pump that up to running at 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, and just really slowly over time up that. Hitting another 5K in March. No, very first week of April. We're doing a hot chocolate 5K. They actually give you hot chocolate at the end. And then in May, we're going to go up to Scranton. If any of you are Office fans, I'm a huge fan of The Office, as are some of my children. We're going to go up and run the Office 5K in Scranton. People dress up as the characters. It's a whole thing. And that is the update on my running. I'll let you know next week how the 5K goes. All right, let's switch gears and get into the topic today of ditching the clean plate club. Now, we are house divided when it comes to cleaning our plate in the Schlag household. Do we clean our plate? Do we not? My husband's plate is so clean after dinner, it looks like he has not even been served the food yet. I, on the other hand, regularly have some food left over. We were both raised in clean your plate households. Like, that is how it was. In my own home, my dad's motto was, you asked for it, you got it, you eat it. Many a meal, I sat holding back tears, trying to shove in just one more bite. Over the last 8 years, coaching women of my generation in regards to their nutrition, I've heard variations of this story over and over. Almost all of us have stories of the guilt trips about starving children in Africa, which, you know, now we can see that makes no logical sense. The kids in Ethiopia were not going to be any more or less hungry if I wasted my peas. But back then, it was kind of terrifying and incredibly confusing. Night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, conditioning to eat every last bite. It is no wonder we brought this habit into adulthood with us. Even though it may be actively thwarting your effort to lose weight and learn to honor your body's fullness cues. So, what do you do about this? Now, I am no therapist, so I can't and won't advise you on your past, but I can help you deal with the here and now, recognizing patterns, feelings, and behaviors that aren't serving you, and choosing new helpful thoughts and actions. So, how do you go about turning in your Clean Plate Club membership? Well, like pretty much everything I teach here on the pod, it's going to take practice. There isn't a one-time use tool, technique, or tip I can give you that's going to, like, poof this habit away. but you can practice your way to eating within your body's needs. And this practice is so worth it in terms of supporting your weight loss goals, in terms of how you feel physically, like instead of feeling overstuffed, in terms of feeling like you and your body are friends and not mortal enemies. Okay, so let's talk through a couple of things that help. The first step in this practice is going to be journaling about what your expectations are for cleaning your plate and why. I want you to really get it all out of your brain onto paper. What have your experiences been with cleaning your plate? What specific things were said to you about cleaning your plate that you still replay in your mind now, maybe unconsciously? When you pay attention in the coming week or weeks even, what thoughts do you notice that you have about this? When you have food left and you're physically full, but you keep eating, what specifically are you thinking? And this, like I said, this might take weeks. This might take many occurrences to pick that apart. Really dig into like, what are the thoughts in your brain behind that? Recognizing unhelpful thoughts is important for being able to talk back to those thoughts and proactively choose something else to think that will support your desired goals. Okay, so that's step one. You're going to build awareness of your current thoughts by getting them out on paper. Step two, once we've built awareness of these thoughts, is to examine these thoughts and ask yourself about each individual one. Is this thought useful? Is this thought true? Is it true? Is it useful? And then ask yourself, what would you say to your best friend if she expressed those thoughts to you about herself? What would you advise her? Consider, okay, I'm thinking X about why I have to eat this food. And ask yourself, what will happen if you don't eat all your food to clear your plate? What are the consequences? What are the consequences if you do clear your plate? How do you feel when you don't clear your plate? Does that feel, what is the feeling you have? How do you feel when you do clear your plate? And then what options do you see besides eating food you're not hungry for? What are the other options? Write each of these things down. Again, this comes back to, this is not a quick trick or hack or tip. This will take time and practice. Once you've identified these thoughts you're having, then to spend time turning them around, opening them up, and examining them. Now, step three is going to be considering other thoughts that you can actively choose when you notice that you are satisfied and there is still food left on your plate. Okay, instead of whatever is going on in your brain now that I have to eat this kind of background loop you have going on, what is another option of something you could choose proactively to think? And I'm going to give you a couple that have worked really well for me personally, as well as for my one-on-one clients and my members in Fitter After 40. Here's number one. You could choose to think, eating this food when I'm not hungry is not honoring my body. Let me say that again. Eating this food when I'm not hungry is not honoring my body. Aren't you tired of fighting against your body? Okay, option number two, which is a thought you could choose when you notice that you are satisfied, there is still food left on your plate. What could you choose to think? You could choose to think this. Eating this food when I'm not hungry is getting in the way of me achieving my goals. Let me say that again. Eating this food when I'm not hungry is getting in the way of me achieving my goals. Remind yourself that this decision to eat past the point of fullness is actively counter to your weight loss and weight maintenance goals. And then number three, and this is a personal favorite of mine, I am not a trash can. Now, you may have treated yourself as such up to this point, but you are not a trash can. This is a thought you can actively choose to think when you're looking at your plate and there is still food there and you know you don't need it. It's not something you're like, yeah, I'm still hungry for that. And you feel like, ooh, I should eat that. You can say to yourself, I am not a trash can. A colleague of mine in the fitness industry, Dr. Lisa Lewis, we were chatting, I believe it was on a podcast, and she was talking about the mommy Zamboni. Now, if you didn't grow up ice skating and haven't spent much time in the ice skating rink, you might not be familiar with a Zamboni. Now, if you know, you know. I grew up skating, and when my kids were little, we spent a lot of time at the ice rink, and my youngest son was obsessed with the Zamboni. The Zamboni is the machine that comes out to smooth the ice when it gets too gouged up. And it has this big, it almost looks like a plow, but it's a scraper, and it scrapes a thin layer of the ice off so that it can then smooth it with a new layer. And so Dr. Lewis calls the habit that many moms have of going behind their kids and scraping the leftovers from their kids' meals into their own mouth, you know, like a chicken nugget here, a spoonful of macaroni there, a half a waffle here, scraping all those leftovers into their own mouth. She calls that the mommy Zamboni. You are not a Zamboni. You are not a trash can. It is a-okay for you to have bites left behind. Bites left behind is a hashtag I started using 4 or 5 years ago. I'd show the end of my meal on Instagram and stories or in my main feed. I would show the end of my meal, how there's 2, 3, 4 bites left, and put the hashtag bites left behind as a way to remind people that this is a-okay. And in a fat loss phase, absolutely, these 2, 3, 4 bites that you're eating when you're already satisfied can be the difference between losing weight and not losing weight. Do you hear that? Those 2, 3, 4, 5 extra bites you eat in an effort to clear your plate could be the thing keeping you from losing weight. Now, does this mean I think you should just willy-nilly be wasteful with food? Absolutely not. For sure, no. When possible, save those extra bites in the refrigerator for leftovers, or offer it to someone else who is still hungry. In the end, remember, it is just as wasteful to eat food that your body doesn't need as it is to throw the food away. It is excess calories. And how much money and time are you going to waste trying to lose the excess weight created by those excess calories? This shift in thinking can be a turning point for you. It has been for so many of the women that I coach in Fitter After 40. By the way, we have an entire module on ditching the clean plate club in Fitter After 40. You can get personalized coaching from me inside Fitter After 40 if this is an area where you need some support to make these changes, because I know this can feel really challenging. You might be hearing this and being like, yeah, like this is clicking for me. Like, whoa, that is a light bulb for me. If those extra bites are actively keeping me from losing weight, and I'm actually wasting my time and energy trying to lose that weight after eating the excess food, like, I do want to stop, but I'm going to need some support. Fitter After 40 would be an excellent option for getting that support. You can get on the waitlist at kimschlagfitness.com. I put that link in the waitlist on these show notes. As I said, it can take a lot of practice. And I am practicing becoming a person who leaves bites behind is another excellent mantra. Let me say that again. I am practicing becoming a person who leaves bites behind. That can be an excellent mantra. This is important because we want you to start identifying with that future version of you, the version of you that honors when her body tells her she's done eating, the version of you who has shed that habit that doesn't serve her of eating until the plate is clean. We want you to identify with that version of you that can sit with those feelings of discomfort and guilt around leaving food on your plate and be able to talk back to them. So when you identify as a person practicing leaving bites behind, you are stepping into those shoes of that future version of you versus identifying as someone who cleans their plate. I've always cleaned my plate. Instead of identifying as that person, you can begin to identify as someone who is practicing leaving bites behind. You're not there yet, but you're practicing that. That version of you that cleans their plate, that's the old you. The new you, the you that's 10, 20, 50, 100 pounds down, is a person who is practicing leaving bites she's not hungry for behind. Okay, one last topic to chat through here, and that is the example we're setting for our own children. This has been top of mind for me. I don't want my kiddos to have the weight of the Clean Plate Club bearing down on them as it did for me. So I have modeled being okay with leaving bites behind. I will out loud say, like, ooh, that was good. I'm not hungry anymore, and push my plate back to model the idea like this is normal and this is acceptable and this is okay. You don't have to finish every bite on your plate. I've directly said that to my kids, like, oh, you don't have to keep eating that if you're full. Like, if they express that they're full, that's fine. We can put that in the fridge. That's totally fine. Now, sometimes my husband will jokingly brag about how, like I said, he's a clean, he's still to this day a card carrying member of the Clean Plate Club. And he'll be like, you know, jokingly bragging about how he ate every last bite of his food. And I do keep it light and I'm not starting a fight, but I do push back so that my kids hear, like, oh, this isn't the standard they have to reach for. It's not a badge of honor. And I'll say that. I'll be like, oh, you must have been hungry. Clean Plate Club does not earn you a medal. You know, it's important for us to be able to model this behavior for our children and to be pushing back, as I said, in like a nice light way, but a firm way about the fact that it is not a badge of honor. It is not the goal to be cleaning our plate. It's good for our kids to hear that and for them to see that. When they can see us push our plate back and with food still on and be like, ooh, that's good. I'm not hungry anymore, so I'm going to stop. That can help give them permission to not even ever join that Clean Plate Club. That's what we would ideally have them do, is not even join that terrible membership. All right, I know this is a heavy topic. I know it has a lot of emotion going along with it. You might want to listen back to this podcast again. Take some notes. Begin practicing. Practice being a person who can leave bites behind. Practice being a person who is okay with not cleaning her plate. Even though right now you're not that person, you can practice becoming that person. I know you can do it. I have seen many, many, many women who I have coached do that exact thing. All right, I will meet you back here next week. See you then. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.